الحمد لله صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبيه ومصطفى. ما بعد، we started the khutbah by praising Allah, the one who made salah to be the pillar of this deen, and it is made to be the first thing that the slave is going to be asked about, and the last thing that the ummah will lose from this deen. It is also made to be the way how tranquility is gained and how one is settled. It was made obligatory of the seven heavens, and it was mentioned in many verses of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala made it obligatory in all cases. No one is excused, even the one who is ill or the one who feels harmfulness from enemy or wild animals. Poor people are not exempted from performing salah, rather the one who is in trouble. It is not bought of any body from this ummah except a woman in her menses or after delivery, or the one who is unsettled, as he is not going to understand what he says, what he does in the prayer. In prayer, the person is going to use all of his body parts, starting from the exposed body part through the tongue to the heart. And it is made to be a condition for one to pray to purify his body and to face the Kaaba. And from the completion of the perfect prayer is to put on the best of your clothes. It is made forbidden for one who is in prayer to be involved in anything other than the prayer, sayings and actions. Even with thinking, looking, speaking, all these are prohibited for one who is in prayer to do any of it out of the prayer. It is a matter of conflict between the ulama about the one who doesn't pray. Is he kafir, the major kufr, or kafir, the minor kufr? But in both cases, in both situations, in both different opinions, he is considered to be kafir. It is the best act of worship after the shahadatain, after the two testimony of faith. It cleans and washes the sins and removes them. It is a life for the one who does it in this life and in the hereafter. The one who walks to it, every step he takes, there will be a hasana written for him, and a rank or a level raised, and a matter of worry to be removed from his heart and mind. Performing salah and waiting in the place where you performed it for the other salah is considered to be one form of riba. And riba is to guard the boundaries of Muslim land. Who gets out of his house only to do the prayer he would be given a reward of Hajj. The one who leaves his house to perform Salah in the masjid only for that intention, nothing else. He doesn't go out to go to the market and then pray or visit somebody and then pray. Just only for the prayer, then he would be given a reward of Hajj. Who performs Salah always from the beginning of it till the end, every time, he doesn't miss anything from it, and for accidentally one day he came late, he would be given a reward as if he called the prayer from the beginning. As he is somebody who is always attending the prayer from the beginning. I've been witness that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah. And I've been witness that Muhammad is the messenger, is the clever messenger of Allah. The one who called to prayer and saying an action. And he commanded his companions and family to perform the prayer. He also commanded every Muslim when he was dying. He commanded every Muslim to perform prayer and to keep on performing prayer. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, his companions and family. And then, dear brothers and sisters, no doubt that Salah has, in Arabic, it combines of the letter Sad, Lam, and Ha, or Ta, Marbut. And these three letters, are the letters that many different words are constructed of. For example, Sila, connection. So Salah is a connection between you and your Lord. And that's why in all worships you perform, you can, at the same time when you are performing it, you can be connected to other than Allah, except Salah. Except in Salah you cannot be connected to any other. If you are performing Siyam, you still can be connected to others. If you are performing Hajj, if you are performing Zakah, if you are performing Amr Ma'ruf Nahy Al Munkar, whatsoever, you still can be connected to others. If your phone rang, you can answer. You can stop your worship for a while and then continue later. Even Tawaf. However, Salah is different. In Salah you can only be connected to Allah. And that's why it is called Salah. It is the purification of your heart. There when you purify your heart, because you are only for Allah, it is the only time you are free of all attractions, of wife, life, wealth, whatever it is. You are not attracted. You are only concentrating on your prayer. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith reported by Imam Abu Dawood and authenticated by Albani on the authority of Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَمْسُ صَلَوَاتٍ كَتَبَهُنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. Five prayers that Allah made obligatory upon the slaves. فَمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِنَّ. So whoever performs them, لَمْ يُضَيِّعْ مِنْهُنَّ شَيْئًا, and he didn't miss anything from them, استخفافاً بِحَقِّهِنَّ, thinking that this is something simple, يعني he missed it, not due to forgetfulness, or due to sleeping, but he thinks that it is something simple. If he didn't miss anything, with this kind of reason, then Allah Ta'ala would have a promise given to this person to get to the Jannah. So we have to take care of that. It is not only to pray. It is not only to pray. It is to pray perfectly. So what a glad tiding is given to the one who performs salah at its time and where he is commanded, he or she commanded to perform it, to perform it. And the way they are commanded to perform salah. And it is the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a loss is for that one who doesn't care of salah. Even when he prays, he doesn't perform it with tranquility. He doesn't feel it. As what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Maryam, Ayah 59, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. They were replaced with another generation after them who missed the prayer and followed desire. So they are going to face ghayya. The ulama says ghayya means punishment, severe punishment. And some say that ghayya is the river in Jahannam. A river in Jahannam. So what a happy person is that one who struggle against himself to perform salah with tranquility, with concentration. As Allah Ta'ala recommended this kind of person by saying, as in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Ayah 1, 2, and 2, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The first characteristic that Allah wrote in describing the mu'mineen, He said, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. First thing, although Allah followed in this surah many characteristics for believers, but it began with الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who pray, but not any prayer, not any way to pray. There is only one way, which is the perfect way, with tranquility, with khushu'. And khushu' means, when you say Allahu Akbar, you know what you say. It was said to Imam al-Shafi'i, how you gain khushu'? He said, when I come to the road, and I face the Kaaba, or the Qibla direction, and I raise my hand, saying Allahu Akbar, I put in mind that the dunya is on the back of my hand and the akhirah is on the palm of my hand. So when I say Allahu Akbar, raising hands up to the level of my ears or shoulders, that time it's like I'm throwing whole dunya at the back. And then I'm holding one on the other of my hand, like I'm holding the akhirah. Like when you are ready to go to the grave. So that's how they used to think of salah. And that's why it was said to Urwa ibn Zubayr, or Abdullah ibn Zubayr, I forget now, when he had cancer in one of his legs, doctors said that we have to cut it off. So you need to drink alcoholic syrup. He said, no, it is forbidden, I don't drink it. But when I stand in my prayer, bring your knife or saw or whatever and cut it off. So they did. So this person did not keep thinking. Now he knows that they are coming. So he didn't think of it. Because once he's in prayer, he doesn't know what's going on. And it was said that there was a man at the time of the Salaf praying when one side of the mosque collapsed. So when it was collapsed, when it collapsed, everyone in the town heard it. And they came running to see casualties. When they got into the remaining part of the mosque, they saw the man standing praying. So they waited for him until he finished. They said to him, "You didn't know what happened?" He said, "No, what happened?" He said, "Look, one part of the masjid fall down, collapsed." He did not know, he did not realize. Why? Because he's praying in concentration. With concentration. But not like us. Dear brothers and sisters, no one can gain khushu' and benefit out of salah except if he learns about salah. You need to learn the shuroot, the conditions of salah, the pillars of salah, the obligations of salah, sunan of salah, and the invalidators of salah. We got to learn these things, we got to know them, so we can perform a perfect salah. As for some people, they perform salah, but they don't know when they do sujood sahw and for what is sujood sahw to be done. So many people do not know the ruling of salah in traveling, or when he should combine, when he should shorten. So many people, they mix between combining between two salah and shortening the number of rak'ah of the salah. They also do not know the ruling of adhan and iqamah. How to be done, when to be done. As many people think that if they miss the prayer and they come after the jama'ah finished, they only raise the iqamah and that's it. And from where they got this, I myself do not know. But it is something that they copy each other on. Also, there are some people who come late for salah. And when they come late and they hear the imam is going to ruku, they come running into the masjid. And some of them may say, "Subhanallah, inna Allah ma'a as-sabirin." Or maybe they play with the keys to make him understand that we are running. You wait. Or they might do ruku' by the door. And they walk in ruku' position. Or they maybe do ruku' before they join the row. Or maybe they come to the row while the imam in ruku' position. And they make one takbir and they go for ruku'. This takbir has no intention behind other than the intention for takbir for ruku'. And by that, they yet did not enter salah. They are not in salah. So they continue with the imam, and they finish, they go home, thinking that they did the prayer, but they did not do the prayer. And some others might come and join the row while the imam is in ruku' position. And they make takbir with the intention of ihram, but while they are bending their body. And this is not for ihram. So there's a condition for takbir to ihram is to be done in 100% straight bar. So we have to learn these things. They think this is something simple. They think these mistakes are Nothing. While the Prophet ﷺ one day was in the mosque, sitting with his companions, teaching them some kind of knowledge, when somebody came to the masjid, entered the masjid, and he started doing two rak'ah prayers for tahiyyat masjid. He came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ said, wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Go back and pray, you did not pray. He didn't tell him you prayed wrongly. He said, you did not pray. The man kept going, coming three times. He repeated those two rak'ah three times. Still the Prophet ﷺ said, you did not pray. Then the man said, Ya Rasulullah, by the one who sent you with the truth, I know nothing more than that, so teach me. So the Prophet ﷺ taught him what to do when he came. And he taught him his mistakes. Khushu', tranquility in standing, ruku', sujood, how to make sujood, how to make ruku', what to recite, what to say. So this is very, very important. People think that this is something simple. And that's why we see this ummah, they do not know what is good, what is bad, even in politics. You see, the Chinese are better than them, even in politics, although they are idol worshippers. You see, some Africans who are still worshipping magic or worshipping, they are too far away from modern life, but yet they are better than the Muslim in politics. Why? Because the Muslims are losing their connection between themselves and their Lord. Yes, they are lost ones, for sure they are way, way beyond that, but these are considered to be Muslims. So they have to perfect their relation with Allah. If they don't know how to perfect their relation with Allah, how come they perfect their relation with the people? So they have to learn that. And that's why we see the 1 billion ummah, the ummah of 1 billion Muslims, are the weakest today. Why? Because Allah is not supporting them. Why? Because they are not in the real servants of Allah. They are not in the real service of Allah. Allah says this, they do this. So how come Allah would be pleased to them? If you have a servant, if you have a housemaid, and you told her, I want you to cook rice, and she go and cook, for example, eggs, you won't be happy. Although she cooked for you something, but yet you are not happy, because you told her to do this, but she did that. So what about Allah, who told you to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you are ignoring Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and doing what you like or what you see people doing? That is wrong, ya ikhwan. And by that we never win. We never ever win. And that's why we saw a government like Saudi Arabia in the first beginning, in the early beginning of it, when King Abdulaziz came to unite the Arabian Peninsula, he was with little people, little number of people, and very small equipment, but they won. How they won? Because in their hearts they wanted to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they wanted to spread this. While their enemies, no, they were grave worshippers and this and that. So they won. We saw people like Sheikh Jamil Rahman in Kunar in Afghanistan, when the 7 parties and the others and the West with them could not win. But Jamil Rahman, way behind that, before that, he won. He ran his country in Kunar and implemented the Sharia and made knowledge to be spread. Why? The connection between us and Allah is the knowledge. He told us to do this, we have to do this. We cannot change, we cannot do our own, you know, wishes. As so many people come to the masjid, they come to the masjid in a way of dressing that they don't go with it in the respected respected parties or whatever it is. They don't go in that kind of dressing when they meet their bosses, or if they are going for any kind of party, they put on the best clothes they have. But when they come to the masjid, they just pick any piece of clothes and come. And that's bad, yeah. That's bad. Allah Ta'ala commanded us to take our beauty to the masjid. We have to dress in a nice way. Some also, when they come to the masjid, or when they start to pray, either in the masjid or anywhere else, they start moving. While if they are in front of their boss, you see them like a piece of furniture. If the boss doesn't turn it right, it remains the same direction. But in Salah you see they are playing time with the Ghutra, some time with the, and some of them adjust their watch to the clock of the masjid, and some of them may look into the mobile, and maybe they delete some names and add some names. Maybe the mobile runs, and instead of putting hand into the pocket and switch it off, they take it out to see. Is it important lesson? So I answer. Or somebody who's not important, just let it rain. That is bad. We see these things every day and every night, in almost every morning. And some of them come with their mobile phone on a music tone. And in Salah, it keeps ringing, music. They even don't put their hands into their pockets and switch it off. Although it is going to put music, but at least put your hand into your pocket and switch it off. They keep it ringing until the end. And maybe the caller rings again and again and again. He doesn't know if they are in prayer or not. But they keep, like they are enjoying the Quran with the music. That is bad. That is why we are too late for even holding the nations who are now away before us. Some of them might come when the Imam has finished some part of the Salah, and they don't know how to recover the missed part of the Salah. For example, you see people coming for Maghrib, joining the Jama'ah when the Imam is in the last Rak'ah. We know Maghrib, 3 Rak'ah. The first Rak'ah, the Imam doesn't sit. Anybody who prays Maghrib and the first Rak'ah doesn't sit. The second and the third, they are sitting. So he comes in the third, and he joins the Jama'ah, sits with the Imam. Now he thinks, oh, I've done one sitting, so I still need one only. So when he goes for the second rak'ah, what he does? He stands. Subhanallah. See, a Muslim, he doesn't know how to pray. It's not due to forgetfulness. He might forget and stand, but he thinks that this is the way. He missed one standing, so he must bring it. And that's subhanallah, shows how ignorant Muslims are. And some might pray but do not allow his body part to maintain the pillar that is related to it. For example, the back. When he stands, he doesn't allow the back to maintain the pillar that is related to it. You sometimes see him bending to the front, sometimes bending to the back. Sometimes it depends on right leg, sometimes on the left leg, And maybe if he is by the wall, he depends on the wall. And that's bad. That's bad. This is not salah. This is not salah. You have to stand. You have to stand. And some of them in ruku', for example, they don't straight up their back. They bend it. They bend it. And that's also bad. That's also bad. They have to straighten their back in L-shape. L-shape. And some of them, when they rise from the court, when they rise from the court, they do not wait until their body settles. They just go, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمْدَهُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ direct to sujood. That's wrong. That's against tranquility, which is tuma'neena, which is fila of salah. And some of them, when they go for sujood, they spread their arms on the floor, on the ground. And this is called iftirash. And this is how the dog sits. And the Prophet ﷺ says, when you go for sujood, don't do iftirash like the dog. So only you need to put your hands and your fingers up, not spreading, and directing to the Kaaba. Some of them, they go for sujood and they don't put their nose, they don't make their nose touch the ground. Only the forehead, and that's wrong, because forehead and nose is one part, is one body part, considered to be one, that represents the face. Some of them might put the nose and the forehead on the ground, their hands on the ground, but the feet one over another. And that's bad. That's not good. And some of them might pull their body into, yani body parts into each other, like if they are tight. And that's bad also. You have to spread your arms, you have to retain your legs back so it doesn't be, it doesn't touch your stomach. That's how you perform sujood. But they don't know. And I saw ladies in the haram who put even their chest and their stomach on the ground in sujood. And that's from the sunnah. That's not from the sunnah. Some of them might move their heads a lot, looking left and right. You see them. If you go to the haram, you see different kind of, you know, traditions. Different kind of traditions. Like if salah is part of our culture. So you perform it the way you like. Like piece of clothes. We in Saudi Arabia wear top and in a certain design. In Kuwait they wear top, but a different design. In India they wear longi. And this is not a culture. It's not a child of culture. This is a prayer. Every Muslim in the whole world must be exactly the same as all Muslims in prayer. We have to have one form of prayer. Because Muhammad ﷺ said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. رَأَيْتُمُونِي, meaning me, one. And he didn't say, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَئِمَّتَكُمْ يُصَلُّونَ. No. You're not told to pray to copy your imam, your father. You are told to copy Muhammad ﷺ. So all the Muslims supposed to be in the same form of salah. You go to some places, you see they put their hands aside while standing. Some others hold them below the navel, and some on the stomach, some on the chest, and maybe some on the on the throat like that. And I saw some people like if they are, you know, killing themselves. So that's bad. That's bad. But also those who can put their hands below the navel or by the side, that is also bad. That is also. We have to go back to the hadith, like the hadith of Walid ibn Hujr, how he described the prayer of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and do like what he described. Some of the people doesn't know the differences in the way of julus, of sitting. We have iftirash and we have tawarruk. He doesn't know the difference between iftirash and tawarruk. Even the form of iftirash, there is certain form of iftirash and two certain forms of tawarruk. He doesn't know them. He sits anyway and he says this is iftirash. You say no, iftirash is not like that. Iftirash is to sit on your left foot and make your right foot straight with toes to the qibla. So this is iftirash. While tawarruk has two different forms. One, to straight up your right foot with toes to the qibla, and you insert your left foot beneath your right leg, or you put, you don't straight your left, your right foot, you put the toes to the back, to the opposite direction of the qibla, but the left would be the same position. But most of the ummah do not know this. They might come to the haram and see some of Qullab al-Ilm doing that, and they look at them and laugh, what are doing? And they think that these are wrong. These Badu do not know Salah. While this is in Bukhari, Muslim, in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, you ask them, where did this from? All my country does that. Allah doesn't ask your country. Allah asked the Prophet, what did you teach them? So we have to understand that and perform it. Some of them make mistakes even in salam. Some of them like this, salam alaykum. Like this, just like this. Just they move a little bit their head to the right, little bit to the left. And some of them might turn it to the right till they see who is in the back. Like this. And you see, like if they are twisting their back. And some of them, they stop by the middle. As-salamu alaykum. There is their head up and down between the two salams. As-salamu alaykum. I don't know from where they get that. It's all imitating. They might see somebody who just embraced Islam and he's doing that, so they think, oh, this is the way. While they are originally Muslims, but they like imitating. They like, although the shadow always imitates the body. This is the characteristic of the shadow. Always imitate the body. You move the body this way, the shadow goes this way. But Muslims are more perfect in imitating others than the shadow to the body. They just imitate. And I have proofs for that. I didn't just say that like that. And I give you one proof now. Two proofs I give you. Two proofs. First one is the Christians. From where they get that? All imitating the kuffar when they roll, when there is the cross. You don't see any hadith, da'if, mawdu, you don't see anything like that. Only when the Christians raise the cross, so they said, oh, what we raise? The Christians. See also, The Mawlid. From where they get the Mawlid? They saw the Christians celebrating the birthday of the of Isa. So they celebrate the birthday of Muhammad. And many, many other examples. The mihrab itself, from where they get the mihrab. And they, you go to the Masjid al-Nabawi, they build mihrab inside, like if the Prophet ﷺ had mihrab. The Prophet didn't have mihrab. It was a solid wall. It is not what you see by your eyes is the proof. No, it is what you see in the books is the proof. What you see in the books of Bukhari, Muslim, that is the proof. You see how the Masjid al-Nabawi decorated. Ayat everywhere, domes and this and that. Where is this from? The Prophet ﷺ says different in the hadith. So how do they do that? Only imitating. Go to the Christian church and see how, yani, as more religious, as more rich Christians you go to, you see more beautiful and decorated churches. So the same. You go to Bab Sharif, you see masajid of two poor people. Very simple. You go to India, you go to Africa, because they are poor, you see. But you go to India, for example, Taj Mahal, or where very rich people, you go there, you see what is a museum. It's not a mosque, it's a museum. You go to the Corniche today here in Jeddah and see the mosque. You go inside the mosque, you don't want to go out. And I saw people taking pictures inside. They have rights to, because they are not getting into a mosque. They are getting into a museum. And that's bad. That's bad. You know? And I saw my eyes, one mosque here in Jeddah, they have a Turkish decoration. By Allah, I swear by Allah, and I stopped the sheikh. I stopped him when he was going out, and I made him to stand in front of this decoration and showed him that there is a head of lion. All the decoration is based on head of lion. One, yani, to the right position, top, and one bottom. Top, bottom, top, bottom. And they call that decoration. I said, "Akhi, how we pray to the Qibla when all these heads of lions are here? Are we worshipping lion or what?" But that sheikh was somebody who was involved in politics. So all what he was worried is the government and the... So he didn't care about that, he didn't talk about that. Said, subhanAllah, 1 hour later he talked about the government and this and that. Now I'm telling you, see this mistake in the Masjid, he didn't care. That's how Muslims are only imitating the others. Only imitating the others. Some of the Muslims, some of the people who come to pray, might do many things, but not the Sunnah. But not the Sunnah. And that's why, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to study Salah as how it should be performed. We need to memorize these things. Because as I said before and many times, this is your identity as a Muslim. I don't know you as Indian, Bangladeshi, or African, or American, or British, or Saudi, or Yemeni. I know you as a Muslim. Your identity is not green card, it's not passport, it's not ID card. Your identity is how to perform Salah, is how to implement La ilaha illallah. That is your identity. Regardless what tongue you speak with, regardless your shape, regardless your color, regardless you are rich or poor, but we are all having one identity. That is La ilaha illallah and the Salah. How you perform them, how you stick to them, and inshallah ta'ala, we're going to continue that in our dars of Durus al-Muhimma, wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak على نبينا محمد وعلى رسوله